The station that started it all, baseball on the radio, looking forward to bringing you Pirates and Reds in their getaway game from Cincinnati. Larry Richard with former Pirate closer Jason Grilley, who joins us courtesy of our video, which you can see at kdkradio.com. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Always fun to wake up and talk sports and everything else with you.
Yeah, so for people that don't know, when you played here, you were so loved by the fans, and then you went off for a while, but you came back and you made Pittsburgh your home. What is it about Pittsburgh that drew you back here?
It's the people, and maybe a pierogi or two. I don't know, but no, it's a great place. My kid got in school when I was playing here. He was up at St. Edmund's Academy. We enrolled him there and just started meeting people outside of baseball that I was like, wow, what a community. Love the tight bonds here. And, it just feels good here, man. I don't know. I can't describe it other than the people that come here, they stay here. And that's what probably the number one question I think everybody asks is, why are all these athletes settling in Pittsburgh? I said, because it's pretty freaking awesome here, I guess. We got a good airport if you need to get out. But we got good weather all four seasons. I'm a fan of, three major sports teams. How can you not like an area that we're the only ones that have the same color line, man?
Black
and gold
true.
All the way through.
That's true.
Well, that's my story, Jason. I moved here about 18 years ago, and I'm stuck just like you are. I like all the things. You checking off all my boxes. Hey, about last night's game. Besides the bats coming alive, there was some outstanding base running last night by the Buccos.
It's the little things I think that the team does, any baseball team. I watched the exciting College World Series game, and, when you see the things that add up to what constitutes and warrants a win, we're 21 games away from the 100-game mark in the season. And I said, you're going to go try to play 500 baseball, 50 and, go 50 and 50. What do you do with those other 62 games? I know they're about 2.5 out of the wild card standing, 8.5 out of the division. I think, doing those little things, especially with some of the key members in the bullpen and on, Jiwon Bae and guys like that could be instrumental in doing some of the things that are going to need to electric spark in that division. Those little things, the base running, as always, plays big into wins. And I think that's what they have to do in order to stay in the fight here.
We're with former Pirate closer Jason Grilley. Jason, David Bednar, Mars product, he's out with an injury. And so they have to go to some other pitchers to close out games. That's probably a big challenge, but an opportunity for some of those guys too.
I think the one guy that I'm very hopeful for, he's had an unbelievable career when you look at his stats, is Chapman. But he gives me a little bit of heart attack every now and again because the walks is what kills you. But with a power arm, you look at his career stats and the guy can be dominant. So I just hope with his veteran experience and, Holderman, he's had a great season so far, and he's a quality closer in contention too. So I always said that starting the year the bullpen was a big asset, and now with three power arms in the front of the rotation, I think if this all blends together, guys, what we're talking here is something that I think is coming out of everybody's hopeful minds and mouths, right? Is that we're going to be in playoffs again. I go back to, yeah, it's great that I was in a wild card game that was monumental here to be a part of it, special. But I ran into Bednar at the bank and, gave him a big hug the other day, man. And just said, hey, it's good to see you. I know you're going through a lot, just on and off the field. But it's good. It's good to see, man. I know I had a forearm strain in that playoff run season. So injuries are part of the game. It's just timing of this all syncing up together. I just love that the team is holding true. And like I said, they got to find a way. And that's part of a season, is how you get through it. And you got to use everybody on that roster.
So many teams have a shot at the playoffs. This is a pretty thick race. A lot of teams that are hovering around or near 500.
Isn't it crazy? I mean, there's only 13 teams with winning records out of the 30 that are in the big leagues. I find that kind of fascinating. And then, you know, it brings up the topic of, you know, the All-Star trade deadline or the All-Star break and the trade deadline. And you sit there and go, who's going to be buying and who's going to be selling if all these teams are in contention? So, you know, if there's going to be a bidding war, or is everybody going to stay put if they feel like they're in the mix and in the race, even with a losing record, when you're, you know, just a few games below 500, that can change real quick. I mean, look at the Mets, for example, a team that you sit there and go, man, what a terrible start. And everybody's booing them. Now Grimace shows up for them, and they got a little bit of juice. They're back in the subject matter here of, you know, what a team. But, you know, that's why a season and this reality TV show that we all watch every day, it's amazing, the drama, and that's what makes baseball so great. And I hope it's going to make some drama and some headlines, some ways that we're having this conversation right at the end. If we're 2.5 games out of contention instead of going into September or less than that, maybe two and a half up, I'd like to say we're 2.5 up in September. I hope we're talking like that.
Well, we've got the Bucks and the Reds today and coming up. Jason, can you stick around? I want you to tell us about Grilly Paluzzi striking out cystic fibrosis and Pittsburgh's 50 finest, if you can.
Absolutely, man.
And we'll do that next on the Big K Morning Show with Jason Grilly. Informant Pirate closer Jason Grilly, who's one of us now. And Grillapalooza is coming up. How did you get involved in this, Jason?
Well, I got elected through a friend who, his family member, I used to coach here with my son. He was on my son's team. And the connection is they're a carrier of cystic fibrosis. So I got elected to be one of the 25 men. There's 25 women, so making up the Pittsburgh's 50 finest. And, you know, just got to run a charity event. So I'm on Team Lena, this wonderful 11-year-old girl who she's pretty special. I just talked to her mother yesterday. We're going to meet up and just kind of get to meet each other in person before the event. And, I'm just running an event, man, with music. I like to say I stayed here in Pittsburgh. Now I get to jam with Pittsburgh. I'm one of you guys and trying to be a Yinzer through and through. So I want to be involved in this community. And, you know, I used to represent Pittsburgh on the front of my jersey. Now I get to jam with them. So I just decided I love music. I love food. We got some auction items. There's miniature golf at Discovery Church. My church is a great venue that can host weather permitting. It doesn't matter. The building's big enough. It used to be an old gaming center up on 228 in Mars. So I put up a post on my Instagram. If people want to look and find a link, they can buy tickets, and all the proceeds from the event are going to Lena and helping fight her cause there. I got everything from an Andrew McCutchen signed autograph item to Jerome Bettis stuff. It's all Pittsburgh framed out, and Bruce Springsteen, who will be in town, I think that his tour date's coming through Pittsburgh. So I got some Bruce Springsteen, some rock and roll items that I think, some trips to Bali. So I have Grandstand Auction Company bringing all this stuff in, you know, country music awards, tickets and things like that. I mean, just experiential things that people like to, you know, donate and, maybe plan their off season if they want to get out of the winter months here and do some cool stuff. So all the proceeds are going to cystic fibrosis and fighting this. So I hope people will come out, kids 12 and under are going to be free. There's going to be miniature golf. It's going to be a fun festival, and I want to jam with Pittsburgh. So I hope you guys all come out. We're 51 days out. So, you know, I'll put the note out now. And when we get closer to it, if you're not going to that Pirate game that Friday night, come jam with me. We got TVs in the building too. We'll have that on playing while you guys enjoy food and beverages and good music.
Grilly Paluzza striking out cystic fibrosis. That's again Friday, August 16th at Discovery Church in Cranberry. Jason Grilly, before you go, I do have one more baseball question. What do you think of when you see Paul Skene's pitch? What goes through your mind?
We're watching something pretty special. The big leagues is a hard level. He's pitching at an elite one right out of the gate. You're watching something pretty special. I'm glad we got him. I hope we hang on to him. And he's leading a charge. I tell you what, like I said, if I was playing, I'd want to be like Paul Skeens. I'd be in his back pocket, watching his workouts, watching what he does, and just rubbing my right arm against his, hoping that I could get some of that special sauce that he's got there. He's a gifted young man, and I heard he's an even better person. So I love to hear that. And hopefully I'll get to meet him here one of these days. You know, Paul, if you want to come to Grilly Palooza, you can't come, man. You got a game that day.
Come after.
We need you on the field. Yeah, it's after the game.
Yeah, I mean, you're there until 11:30. Maybe they get a pitcher's duel. It's 2 hours, 5 minutes, and he can come out and bring Livy Dunn with him. She seems to be of interest to some fans, too.
Yeah, they're big influencers. It's a power couple for sure. And like I said, I can only give them much love because I said, you know, in today's day and age, you got power of influence. They're doing good things. And, you know, you just see the smile on that underneath that mustache, man. It says it all right there.
Jason Grilly, appreciate your time and thanks for what you're doing in our hometown, particularly for cystic fibrosis. We'll talk again soon, partner.
Thanks. Thanks, Larry. Always good to talk to you. Thanks for giving me a runway here. I hope to see everybody out there.
Number 39, your Pirates, Jason Grilly. Really enjoyed our conversations, and I want to get Jason to come in sometime because he's got thoughts about a lot of things. Meanwhile, we may be dealing with some severe weather this afternoon, and there has been some epic flooding in the Midwest. With details on that, CBS's Tom Hansen.
Land and trees and partially breached the Rapidan Dam. Officials here are monitoring the 114-year-old dam around the clock as rushing water continues to erode the soil. Tens of thousands of residents who live in the surrounding watershed are also keeping a close eye on the situation. The Barnes family has been here for more than 50 years.
We never ever thought in a million years this would ever happen, and here it is.
More than 3 million people across four states live in areas impacted by the flooding. Sections of the Mississippi and Missouri rivers are still on the rise. This was the moment a rail bridge connecting Iowa and South Dakota collapsed. Part of it is now submerged in the Big Sioux River, which crested at a record 45 feet. CBS's Jonah Kaplan is in South Dakota.
I'm Jonah Kaplan in hard-hit Union County, South Dakota, and the images, they just speak for themselves. That house over there falling into the ground, this road cut in half, and it's all, what, from a hurricane? No, and not from an earthquake. It's from a flood, all those downpours over the weekend. Did this house just sink into the ground?
Yep, just eroded the ground away and just dropped down.
Sheriff Jim Prouty showed us around the McCook Lake neighborhood, where he says between 50 and 60 homes were damaged.
It's beyond words. I mean, to us, it's a situation. To the families, the homeowners, this is their lives.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem.
This is extensive damage that has changed people's lives forever. The ripple effect is going to be felt long term.
The water also closed a section of I-29. Crews removed enough mud and debris to reopen the interstate.
Back here in Minnesota, the water is receding slowly, but the danger isn't over.
Tom Hansen from CBS. Yeah, if you've seen the videos, it's unbelievable. Some cases, 15 inches of rain, which is unimaginable. Every Wednesday at this time, we check in with Carlos T. Carter, who is the president and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh. Carlos, good morning.
Celebrate good time. Come on.
Wow.
Hey, good morning.
You have a voice. Very nice. And not only are you an author, now I can add singer to the list of your accoutrements.
I do sing sometimes, yep. I've sung for the mayors before. I've done a lot of things, yep. National anthem many times.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. I've done it for CCAC like four times. I sang for all the mayors across the state like a year ago. The mayor's office asked me to do that. Yep.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, were you ever in a band or group or?
No, like at church, I have I've sung in talent shows. I actually won one before. I've sung at weddings. I sing at funerals, so they asked me. I sing in a shower. I do karaoke. Yeah, I do sing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Carlos T. Yeah. Carter, singer. Maybe we'll get you to sing the national anthem at a Pirates game or something down the road.
Yeah, when a Penguins former president heard me sing it before, he told me you should sing at a Penguins game. I just never did. But when he heard me sing it some years ago, he did. David Morehouse mentioned it to me.
They asked me to be a backup singer. I said, how far back? They said, how about Cleveland?
Hey, we all have our talents, right? We just have to know them and leverage them. So.
And today we want to talk about the three keys to stand-up leadership. Leadership, how would you define leadership, being in that role and having so many people work with you? How do you start to describe, what does a real leader mean?
Well, leadership, basically, it's not based on position or title. Leadership basically is the ability to influence others, right? People do that influence in different ways. There's good leaders and bad leaders. I think good leaders, basically inspire people to a shared vision, whereas the weakest form of leadership, some leaders are like bullies or just people only follow them because they have a title. That's the weakest form of leadership. But I think the strongest leader, people follow you because, you know, they like what you're doing. They know you can get results, and they know you care, and they want to, like, bring the vision to life. So a leader is, you know, simply somebody who influences others, but there's different ways to do that, good and bad ways.
And what are some of the roadblocks that you've encountered for growth and effectiveness?
I think a big thing for leaders is big egos. And I think it was Quincy Jones that said big egos are overdressed insecurity. I think part of egos is a selfishness, you know, having all the answers, not listening. And listening not just in form as a leader, but also putting action, some ideas that make sense, into action. I know when I started the Urban League, I said, I promise to listen, but I'm not a puppet, right? So I listen to inform decision-making, but really truly listening to inform decision-making and I think, and putting things in a place.
Yeah, there are a lot of, expressions, mostly in the corporate world, about, you know, letting people do their job and not try to do everything as a leader, being able to, you know, disseminate and ask people to... You're asking them to listen, and they're asking you to listen to them.
Right. Part of that is enabling others to act, like creating an environment. But sometimes it can go both ways. Sometimes leaders don't have the right team, so they have to be hands-on or the team is developing. But I think, you know, as they are developing, you should be able, to step back. Like when I used to run Homeless Children's Education Fund, at first when I started there, it kind of, like, people weren't, like, falling through as well and things like that. But then they became simply amazing. We're empowered, but it's important that people feel empowered, that you leverage their strengths and build upon their strengths. And listening, like I said, is active, putting feedback into action. So I think our big egos really hurt. We, the leader, sometimes lack of listening, lack of focus, right? A lot of times the leader, you want to do everything, but you can't do everything. And the final thing I say as a roadblock is really not valuing diversity and inclusion, as we've talked about on the show, you know, really having diverse spaces where people can bring their full selves. You have different colors, different race, different everything, genders. You can be very effective, but sometimes those things are only lip service or box checking, but it's not really integrating a culture. So I think those are some roadblocks. Of course, there are others, but those are some.
Yeah, the three things leaders can do to level up their leadership.
Number one, in my book, Greatness Awaits You, I give people 11 keys, but I'm going to give you three. I think a big thing is connect, right? I think strong leaders build relationships. They show empathy as part of that connection. They listen. One thing I try to do, I think, is walking around, talking to your people, getting to know them, right? Valuing people more than profit. And if you value people more than profit, you actually get profit, right? And demonstrating that you care. And so this connecting will inspire people to go through walls to reproduce. I say do it because it's the right thing, but it also gets results. It's a simple thing, but it's huge. Be servants, right? I think as a leader, sometimes we get it twisted. People aren't there to serve you. You're there to serve them, right? One thing I try to do, if people are eating, I clean up and throw it away. Honestly, I don't do it to show. I'm the last to eat, because when I started here, I was like, oh, no, the leader waits. I said, no, I'll wait till everyone else goes, right? And it's important to be servants as leadership. You know, you're there to serve your team. They're not here to serve you. And finally, it's to be accountable, right? Don't blame your team when things don't work out. You know, say I'm sorry when you make mistakes. Take responsibility for your team. Hold other people accountable as well, but I think you take ownership is important. One thing I think that's really missing from leadership today, especially in politics, I think we really compartmentalize integrity, and I think that is so critical, that it shouldn't be situational, mean-spiritedness and lying and things like that. Nobody is perfect, right? But as leaders, we should demonstrate integrity. Sometimes we fall short, but we should do that in our actions. They said, don't talk about it. Missy Ellis said, don't talk about it. We got to be about it. And that goes a long, long way to modeling the way when you're being about it and inspiring and empowering your team.
Can always check out ulpgh.org. Carlos T. Carter, President and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Got a big night tomorrow at 9, and we've got you covered here, News Radio KDKA, with live coverage of the presidential debate, the earliest in history between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. 90 minutes. No opening statements, no audience, and muted mics when one candidate is answering a question and then the other. So, and we'll have full breakdown and analysis on Friday morning because no matter what comes out of this Thursday, I'm not sure how many minds it'll change. People are pretty firmly aligned. However, we'll see how the candidates do. In the meantime, Pirates play today here on KDK, the getaway game, and a rubber match with the Reds in Cincinnati. And next week, big, big week in the Berg. We've got, obviously, our 4th of July celebration in the city. We also have the Pirates in town next weekend. They're going to be playing and hosting the New York Mets. And we've got a pair of tickets for you for Sunday's game, July 7th. It's Bucko Luau weekend, and I think Saturday is first 20,000 get a Pirates Hawaiian shirt, and then kids 14 and under on Sunday take home a Pirates beach towel. And we have a pair of tickets for you right now, 412-922-1020, 412-922-1020. Caller number 7, we will make you a winner, and you can get away. Another big event that's also happening next week is Anthrocon comes to the city of Pittsburgh. They love us here. These are the furries. And that starts on the 4th of July through the weekend. Remember, when they announced the dates for the convention here in Pittsburgh, they sold out 11,000 hotel rooms in minutes. So they bring a lot of money to town. And why do they love Pittsburgh? And what is the plan? And what do they do here? Coming up, we're going to talk to the man who heads up Anthrocon, and John Cole's his name, and we'll get the details on the furries coming to the Berg coming up right after the news at 9 with Paul Rasmussen.